hopefully it works. Okay. So I'm going to talk about 1 Peter. So it's part of the Bible. And normally in the Bible, when someone writes it, all right, we say he is inspired by God or part of God, the Holy Spirit, help him to write it. But when he writes it, very often the messenger who writes the letter is also part of the message. So to understand the message better is to understand the author. So if Marie writes to me, I like, you know, all the lovey, I love you, darling, you know. If Zanny write to me, I like, oh, okay, Zanny. No, it's not to say you won't write, but I wouldn't be like, oh, you know, lovey-dovey, you know. So, you know what I mean? So if my boss write to me, I like, oh, I'm in trouble. You know what I mean? So it's good to understand who wrote the thing, all right? So we're going to highlight the Peter as who is Peter. So Peter is one of those guys who hang out with Jesus Christ when he came. All right, so for those who don't know who Peter is, one or two people will help us understand who Peter is. So Peter is a real human being, all right? He's not God, and Jesus Christ as God came and called Peter. So Peter was a fisherman in those days, all right? I just put it in context. He was a fisherman, means he wasn't very educated. He was very rough and tough, because the fishermen in those days don't have all the things that we have. They have to wake up early, and they have to work really hard. And not only that, whatever fish they catch, they have to pay high taxes to the Romans, who doesn't like the Jews. So Jews are the people of those time. When Jesus came and called Peter, Peter is like, wow, this is so good. I'm not educated. I didn't qualify to go to school, but you calling me to do something that is so big. So in the Bible, he was a fisherman, and when God called him, he said, come and follow me and be fisher of men. So from fishermen catching fish, God is saying now, I'm going to upgrade you so that you can call men to God. So that's the first calling. Neil, what do you know about Peter from the Bible? You name your son Simon Peter, he's in trouble then. Do you need a mic? Can everyone hear Neil? All right, you need to shout out, man. All right, big voice. You don't have to come out. All right, okay. Very quickly, because all I want to know is who is Peter in the Bible, not your son. So from someone who is fearful, met Jesus, got courage from his failure and then become a man, not only any man, but a leader that changed the world, that preached the gospel. Maria. Yes, Pastor Maria. You turn around because you're not talking to me. You're just talking to the people. Yeah.
That stand out to me about Peter is that he was willing to give it a go and to trust Jesus even when it didn't seem like when no one was trusting Jesus. And that was when they were in a boat. A big storm had come and Jesus was coming along to them, walking on top of the water. Jesus was doing a great miracle. And Peter thought, I want to be like Jesus. I don't understand who Jesus is, but I want to follow Jesus. And he asked, can I come and be on the water with you? And Jesus said, yes, come.
You walk on water.
And so Peter, for we don't know how long, actually walked on the water. But then he was distracted by the wind and the waves of the sea and then started to sink because he didn't keep his focus on Jesus. But he was willing to give it a go. He did lots of things that he probably wasn't very proud of, but I bet he was so happy about that moment that he got to walk on water because he was wanting to trust Jesus and to follow Jesus.
So part of the story in the Bible is Jesus come as God, but also in human form. So Jesus walked on the water first, all right? So Jesus then enabled Peter in his response, what we call faith. Faith means, I believe in you. If you can do it, and if you want me to do it, I can do it. So Peter walked on water too. So that's pretty courageous. And not many people walk on water since then. Not that I know of. Simon, you got a mic. What do you want to tell us about Peter?
Well, I'm glad I got a backup because that was my first one too. but the other thing that Peter had encountered the resurrected Jesus and was so confident in the resurrected Jesus that when he met the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, he just said to him, look, I don't have money to give you, but what I do have, I give you, get up and walk. And the man got up and walked.
All right. So we're giving example of someone in the Bible who encountered God. So when we share that, it's like, I want to walk on water too. Or I want to be able to say to a beggar, you know, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And that man walked. And he leapt with joy. So that's kind of like, oh, can that be for me? You know, and Neil say, I named my son Simon Peter because Simon Peter in the Bible inspired him so much. He's like, my beloved son, I want him to have the courage, the faith like a Peter, like a courageous leader. So we talk from the Bible to say, how does that apply to me in 2024. So we're going to look at Peter's letter. Now we know a bit about Peter, all right? The other thing about Peter is, all right, he actually denied Jesus Christ three times. Three times. What he means is, I know Jesus, but when people pressure him because Jesus was going to be crucified on the cross, he got frightened and he said, no, I don't know him, you know. And a woman said, but you sound like, you know, those people that hang out with him. He said, no, three times. And then when Jesus rose again, he came to Jesus. This is John 21. He came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, you know, Jesus, Peter, Jesus. They were having breakfast. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter like, what? You know, I I've gone through with you so much. Yes, I deny you. And now you're asking me, do I love you? And Jesus said, I do. And then Jesus said, look after my sheep. Three times. Why? Sometimes Jesus asks us things because he wants us to know. Jesus already knows the answer. Okay? He's God. But he wants us to know whether we know or not. Whether we are for real. Like today, if I ask you, do you love Jesus? And then the next question is, how much? So three times Jesus asked, and three times Peter say, yes, I love you. And then three times Jesus say, look after my sheep. What I'm trying to convey there is, Jesus was called from a fisherman to be a fisher of men. Then he went through a bit of up and down, failures and all that. And then after resurrection, Jesus came back. And this, I think, is his second calling. Jesus asked, do you love me? And basically Jesus is saying, be the shepherd of my sheep. If you say you love me, look after my sheep. So we can apply it and say, do we love Jesus? If Jesus come to all of us and say, do you love me? Maybe Jesus will say to you, look after my sheep. Love my sheep. So if you love your brothers and sisters in the fellowship, it's as much as loving Jesus. Can you see the application? So 1 Peter 5, we're going to look at it. Next one, please. We have to go quick because I got so much. All right. So 1 Peter is a book, a letter written, all right, in the Bible. There's 66 books, and a lot of it is in the letter. And then we put the letters together, compile it, and we got the Bible. So Peter wrote this when he was about 60-something, all right, roughly about 60-something, as good-looking as me. I'm about 60-something, all right. So he's already gone through life, he already ministered about 30-odd years, and now he's close to his life, and he only write two books, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, within about 2 years, but at the end of his life. So at the end of his life, you know, some of you are so young, when you reach 60, you probably look slightly different, and you will probably think something different. So in this letter, compared to other books, he writes a lot about suffering, all right? So I'm going to get Melinda. Can you get me some water? My mouth is drying up. All right, Melinda is going to read very quickly. Thanks, Melinda. Melinda is my reader because of my dry mouth. I can't talk too much. I like to talk too much, but I can't. All right. Thanks. You want to read up?
1 Peter 1:6, suffer sadness, distress by trials and temptations. 1 Peter 2:19, unjust suffering, even conscious of God. 1 Peter 2:20, suffer for doing good and you endure it. 1 Peter 3:14, suffer for what is right. Surprise. 1 Peter 3:17, if it is God's will, suffer doing good, which is greater than for doing evil. 1 Peter 4:1, suffered in body, flesh, since Christ suffered in the flesh. 1 Peter 4:16, suffer as a Christian for God's glory. And 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered for a little while, God.
All right, next one, please. All right, so the general gist of 1 Peter is basically expect suffering, all right? So if you read a book like that, all right, and you kind of like, oh, it's not surprise Christians are meant to suffer because everyone in the world suffer. So there's no exception. Even if you're a Christian, there will be suffering because suffering is part of life. Suffering is because we live in a broken world. Suffering is because there's evil people, there's evil forces. So whatever it is, expect suffering. Then I use the word respect God. Now, it's not in the Bible, respect, but respect is something we are used to. So when you respect someone, what does that mean? You look up. You kind of like, oh, you know, you respect because that person carry himself or herself very well. You know, if you look at a job, you know, if a OT or physio, you're like, oh, that guy seems to know what he's talking about. So you have respect because that person have certain quality that you kind of like, he earned my respect. All right? Now, why I use respect God? It's very simple. If you think about it, you know, to love God, sometimes we talk like, yeah, I love God. What does that mean? Respect means you recognize who God is. If you recognize who God is, how good it is, you will have what we call reverence, trust. So that's why I use the word respect God. Because 1 Peter just say, God is so good, man. Jesus died on the cross for you. He suffers so you can suffer too. So there's a lot of things that God's, you know, Peter just saying, get to know God. If you know God, you will fall in love with God. If you fall in love, you will want to live for God. You will want to be hopeful. You will want to be holy because he is holy, and you want to be humble. Next one. All right, so we're going to read 1 Peter 5, and again, Melinda will read for us. So, Joshua, you just go right through and each finish. Click, click, click. Okay.
Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe, gird yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Through Silvanus, Silas, our faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, exhorting, encouraging, and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ.
All right. So this is the last part of the letter. So I want to start from the last part to emphasize the aim of the letter is to exhort. Exhort means strongly encourage you, all right? To encourage you and to encourage you by testifying. Testifying is like, hey, this is really, really what I know. I've seen it with my eyes. Therefore, I can testify this is real. Because it's real, you need to believe in this because it will change your life. So that's what Peter is trying to say. The true grace of God, again, is to emphasize God is God of all grace. No matter how you fail, because Peter had failed, denied Jesus 3 times. And when Jesus wanted to wash his feet, Peter is the one that say, no, please, don't wash my feet. I don't want you to wash my feet. All right? So Peter always like reject. And Peter also was the one that was so-called seized by Satan. Means Satan was going after him. All right? So he has a lot of failure. That's why Peter can say, I can testify with you. With all my failure, my denial, yet, but God, say, I can hope in you. So that's why Peter is about being hopeful, because it's a living hope, not about himself. Regardless of who he can look to God and say, he's my living hope, he's my heavenly hope. And because of that, he gave his life to God and God alone, because he's like, I've been fishing, didn't do too well. Then Jesus died, I go back to fishing, didn't do too well too. And then he say, I need to be holy as God is holy. So the word holy is kind of really set yourself apart, because God is so much above, apart from anything we know. And to be really intimate with God, one had to set apart, separate oneself from the world. You know, you still live in the world. What it means is the world, you just like Peter say, we're just passing through. Our real home is in heaven. So that's what holiness is. And it's not something we do on our own to be holy. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us to be holy, to be and do the things that God likes. And the last chapter, Peter knows that he doesn't know everything. He used to think he knows everything. That's why he tells Jesus what to do and not do. And then he say, just be humble. So being humble is not to put yourself down and let people step on you. Being humble is realizing God is so high, and because he's so high, my right estimate on myself is that I'm all equal with my brothers and sisters. Because my brothers and sisters and everyone in the world is created in God's image. Because it's created in God's image, we all have equal value. Because we have equal value, I can subject myself, submit myself to support my brothers and sisters. So on the level of horizontal, which means when we mix with people in the world, we lower ourselves down, we submit ourselves, subject ourselves so that we can support others. But with God, we definitely have to be humble. Humble under his mighty hand, because he's God and we're not. So that's the purpose, all right? So now we're going to unpack a bit about the letter. So next one, please. So I want to start off with something for all of us, even though the letters start with shepherd, all right? So that's next one. All right, this is something for all of us. Be humble. So it start off with you younger men, probably younger people, but maybe men are more stubborn. But younger men likewise be subject submissive to the elders. So the word elders is not because I have gray hair. So the word elders in the Hebrew is men mostly who have live long time with God, who knows God, and God put them in charge of a group of people, and that group of people is like sheep, all right? Peter will unpack it. Again, it's because Peter was told three times to look after God's sheep. All right, be humble. You younger men, likewise, be subject submissive. So subject submissive is humility. Humility is being humble. And then all of you means you, me, and everyone else, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Clothe yourself, another word for clothe is to gird. We don't use those kind of language. All right, English is not my first language. To gird is basically put on a garment like an apron of a slave. All right, who wants to be a slave? Not many of us, you know, we're all educated. But he said, put on an apron and be ready to serve one another. All right, so remember Peter. Peter in John 13 saw that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, put on a towel to serve and wash the disciples' feet. So if you remember Peter, like say, it become personal. It's like, why did Peter say that? Because he saw an example of Jesus Christ girding himself with a towel and washing the disciples' feet. Only the lowest slave do that. So he's like, if Jesus can do that, and I remember Jesus say, this is an example I set before you. Blessed are you, not only you listen to it, but you do it to one another. So Peter in his old age is like, hey, this is for real. I am one of the apostles. I'm really, really close with Jesus, but I can't tell you. I need to humble myself with you. So that's what clothed with humility. All right? For God is opposed to the proud, but give grace to the humble. So for two reasons why we do that. One is we don't want to come against God. This is one scripture that God saying, you proud, I'm going to come against you. Who can challenge God? Not even Satan. Satan challenged God and say, I want to be as good as you. All right? Satan is the devil, the enemy of God. All right? So pride is one that is not very good. And it opposes God. So for two reasons. One is to serve your brothers and sisters. The second is don't go against God. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. So again, looking at Peter's life, he really mucked it up a lot. If you look at Peter, a lot of people say, oh, I wish I wouldn't be like Peter. But Peter walked on water. Peter saw miracles. But he humbled himself once he realized he couldn't do it. That's why he say humility, big one, big one. And Peter, who couldn't speak properly, who don't think before he talk, preached the first sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. God exalted him. And Simon already said, he saw the miracle. Silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, get up. And he is also the first one that got the Gentile. Gentile means non-Jew, to know the gospel and come to Christ. Now, the second part is casting all your anxiety, burden, and cares on him because he cares for you. Psalm 55, 22 is what Peter quote. So Psalm is an Old Testament that's saying, at any time, realize God cares and loves for you so you can cast. Again, the word cast, Peter is a fisherman. So Peter used to cast his net. All right? That's what casting is. Throw it to God. Lay it to God. Lay it at the feet of the cross. Whatever you're carrying, whatever anxiety means worry, 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 negative, negative, burden, you know, things like, oh, my child is sick. So it's real thing, you know, I don't have a job, you know, I have to pay my bills, or my parents are sick. Those are real thing, and Peter say, cast it. Lay it down and then leave it at the cross. Don't take it back. Don't take it back. Leave it at the cross because he cares for you. Which means leave it at the cross. Let God take care of it. If you are not humble, I believe, if you're not humble, you don't know how to trust God more. Because you trust yourself more. If you're humble, you trust God more. The more you trust, the more you will cast whatever you're carrying that is too heavy to God. So the more you trust God, the more you will cast to God. The more you think you can do it, which is pride. If you are prideful, then you're not humble. Simple as that. But if you're humble, you will trust God more. And when you trust God more, you will cast your anxiety, cast your burden, cast your cares on God because you really, really trust he can look after you because he's a good shepherd. Next one. Okay. Cause for pause. I picked it up from Maria. Just have a think. And think it with God. Like say, this is a meeting, mediation for you to meet with God. So Father God, we pray as we consider our own heart, if there's pride in us, if there's certain things that we kind of like, no, I don't want to trust God in this. Would you help us now to posture our heart, our mind, to say, you are God, I'm not. I want to trust you more. And whatever thing that is troubling us, maybe anxiety, burden, or cares of this world, I choose to cast it to Christ now in Jesus' name. Next one, please. All right, so the next part is Peter saying, my time is running out, but I think, so it was in the time where the Romans Empire doesn't like Christians. So there was already persecution. Persecution, you can say, is racism. All right? Some of you know what racism is. And it's a cultural thing, but it can also be a religious thing. So people are suspicious, and they just don't like you. They don't know why they don't like you, but they found a reason. Oh, you believe in this, I'm different. Or you look different, but they have the power to persecute you. Means they can actually cause damage to you, destroy you, all right? So it is in that time that Peter writes. So some of us know that because at work, some people pick on us. We're kind of like, why are they picking on me? You know, I'm really, really nice, but they're picking on me. So that's a bit of bullying, persecution. But this one, they actually kill you. They put you and let the lion, all right? The worst thing is, this is one of the things they do. They put animal skin on human body, all right? Strap you with skin of animal, and then they let wild dogs go after you. That's what they do in that time. So it's really, really tough to be a Christian then. So in that, Peter say, be circumspect. Circumspect is a big word. All it means is make sure your eyes is all over. Be watchful because you got no idea what's going to happen. Be sober, be vigilant, be on alert. Your adversary means someone that coming after you. Your adversary, your big, big enemy, the enemy of God, which is the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Now, some people say this roaring lion doesn't have teeth, but I don't know. If you take it as it is, Peter images of lion is in the Romans Colosseum where lions were released to eat people. It wasn't in the zoo where the lions sat quietly and Peter like, oh, kitty, kitty. No, it was a devouring, one who tear the flesh out. So this is how Peter is writing. Wake up. You have an enemy that is going after you and he doesn't like you. Seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering again are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Now, two things. One is the devil is real. Second, each of us need to be watchful. Now, the third one, resist him firm in your faith. That's the one I think we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. In our Western mindset, when we read it, it's like, I need to be tough. But the context is we are in a flock. Means sheep on their own will be tear apart. When they are in the flock and there's shepherd, then you are protected. So to resist, we need to be in a fellowship. We need to have a shepherd. That's how we're going to escape the devil. Firm in your faith. Next one. All right, 37 minutes. Is that means I've been preaching 37 minutes? All right. I'm enjoying myself. I hope you are. So give me 10 more minutes, all right? Okay. So Peter repeating himself, be sober, be on alert. All right, I'll read the next one. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober for the purpose of prayer. So again, part of prayer is be watchful, watch and pray. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. All right, next one. All right, so this is the first part of the last part of Peter, or chapter 5. All right, I put this last because most of you like, I'm not a shepherd, I'm not a pastor, but let's go through quickly. Can you read that again?
Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder, not a pope, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
This is typical, the image that Peter had when he wrote. Because that's how in the Middle East, A shepherd always walked beside or in front of the sheep. The sheep is very following because they know they don't have protective instinct, and then also they don't know how to feed themselves. So they will follow a shepherd. A shepherd normally have a crook to beat out wolves or, you know, things. So sheep instinct is to flock together and just to follow the shepherd voice. And you can see it's not a big group, all right? But there is a shepherd to protect and provide for the sheep. Next one. So these are the things that Peter now writes. He's an apostle, all right? So he's not like, I'm the big boss. I'm the one in charge of Jerusalem church. But he's calm down and say, hey, shepherd the flock of God among you, because I'm also like a shepherd. So as I say, the important thing he realized, if I love Jesus, then I need to look out for the sheep. To love Jesus is to love the sheep, to look out for the sheep. So then he say, all right, this is how you do it. People are like sheep. They don't know how to protect themselves. They don't know how to provide for themselves. So he say, shepherd is another word for pastor. Exercising oversight means look out. Be above and look out for them. Look out for them. Look above them. Make sure everything is not under compulsion, but voluntary. Because being a shepherd is really, really hard. I've been pastor for 10 years. For 10 years, I have heartbreak for 10 years. It's really hard because some sheep don't like to be shepherd. So it's really, really hard. You really care and love for the sheep, but then you don't have control. So you say, don't do it under compulsion. So I can't control or manipulate, all right? But voluntary means, Lord, I give you my time and energy. That's what Peter did. It's like, okay, I humble myself. I'm all yours. If you want to shepherd the sheep, I'll do it. I'll do it willingly according to God's will. And not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Sordid gain means in today's church, for church for a long time, you know, a lot of people say, oh, why do church always ask for money? Because some minister or pastor want money. So they will make whatever reason and excuse to get your money. So Peter said, don't do that. I know there's people who do that. So that's what Peter said, don't do that. Don't do it out of sordid gain, but with eagerness means be diligent, be zealous, you know, pray and ask God what to do. Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge. So do you understand? God put people in a fellowship. And if God put people in a fellowship like Marin Vineyard, then the pastor actually have a bit of authority over the church. But proving to be an example to the flock, leading by example. So shepherding is about example. Shepherding is about relationship. It's not about KPI, trying to get it right. Next one, I have to go quickly. So, just reflect. Are you on your own or with a flock? Who is your shepherd? Who are you willing to let shepherd you? How do you assist your fellowship? Then you can give us feedback. How we doing? Next one. All right, I just read out 1 Peter 2. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd, guardian of your soul. Next one. So this is part of 1 Peter, pointing that every sheep belong to the sheep, chief shepherd, who is Christ. Next one. So this is a good part. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, God is God of all grace. Grace means you do not deserve it. God can give you mercy, but grace means God give you more than what you deserve and good things, who call you to his eternal glory. So God himself, with you following him, will establish you, will confirm you, will strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Next one. That's it. Expect suffering, but respect God. Be hopeful, be holy, be humble. Thank you, Maureen. I try to speed up, but I got a bit slow. Sorry. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you, and we just ask that what I share that is not of you, just cancel it. But what's of you, Lord, would you highlight in the Holy Spirit and bring nourishment and transformation in our hearts, in Jesus' name.
As we can just close with a couple of songs, I pray that let this be a time when we can reflect.